When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they could embalm him. Very early on Sunday morning as they rose, they went to the tomb. They worried out loud to each other, "Who will roll the stone from the tomb for us?" Then they looked up and saw that it had been rolled away. It was a huge stone, and walked right in. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed all in white. They were completely taken aback, astonished. He said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, the one they nailed to the cross. He's been raised up. He's no longer here. You can see for yourselves that the place is empty. Now on your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there exactly as he said." They got out as fast as they could, beside themselves, their heads swimming. Stunned, they said nothing to anyone.
Thank you. Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. God is good
all the time.
It feels good to say that again. I don't know if you knew this, but I gave up saying that for Lent. And it feels so good to say God is good. He's been good throughout this entire season of Lent as we have seen our vision that the church approved not long ago unfolding as we sought spiritual renewal together during that season and certainly have seen the fruits of that, which we will celebrate in part next Sunday with a baptism of five adults from our church will join in those waters of baptisms and make that public profession of faith, and we're certainly excited about that. And as the eunuch said, see, here is water. What is to hinder you from being baptized? If you have been thinking about baptism and you'd like to be a part of this wonderful celebration next Sunday, see me before you leave today. Don't put it off until Monday. Don't say, well, I'll call him this week. See me before you leave today. We welcome you this morning on this Resurrection Sunday. And if you're a visitor with us today, we especially extend that warm, gracious First Baptist welcome to you as well. You are invited to, if you'd like, fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. Include your email on there, and we'll be able to keep you up to date as well about what's going on in the life of the church. I want to pause for a moment before we continue to worship just to acknowledge all of those who have put in so much hard work into this Holy Week. Palm Sunday was a powerful worship experience with so many instruments and voices coming together, readers and people praying. It really was a blessing to be a part of that service. And then as well, our Friday night, our Good Friday service. It was something new for us this year. And we had a wonderful crowd from the community, several other ministers from community church and First Methodist were also here to be a part of that service. And how impressed were we by our youth? To be still for that long is a miracle and a wonder. And it was harder than it looked, I promise you, especially for those who had to kneel and squat and be on their knees for such long periods of times. We're thankful for them. They really made that service special. And here we are today to celebrate the resurrection in style. We have already heard such good music and we'll hear much more. But also the table of the Lord is spread before us. And he himself invites us to come later in the service and remember the reason for this time of year. I especially want to thank Gay and her leadership for all the music. That is, without the music, it just is not Holy Week. And I want to invite you to extend a praise to the Lord for the way he has worked through her. Would you give the Lord a big hand? Today we do worship resurrection, that there is life where there should be death. There is hope where there is no reason to hope. And there is light even in a darkened room. Would you continue to worship with that in your hearts and minds?
Join with me in prayer this morning on this resurrection day. When everything was dark, Father, it seemed that the sun would never shine again, but your love broke through. Your love was too strong, too wide, too deep for death to hold. The sparks cast by your love danced and spread and burst forth with resurrection light. Gracious God, we praise you this day for the light of new life, made possible through your Son, Jesus the Christ. We praise you for the light of new life that shone on the first witnesses of resurrection. We praise you for the light of new life that continues to shine in our hearts today. We pray that the Easter light of life, hope, and joy will live in us every day, and what we will be bearers of that light into the lives of others. We lift this prayer this morning on the day of resurrection, in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Savior and our Messiah, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, hymn number 161, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Please stand.
This morning is our Elon area men's rally. You probably have already noticed around the church some of the posters for this. Guys, this is a special opportunity for you. Our theme for this rally is show up, stand up. And it's a challenge for men to show up and stand up within the body of the church and within the community of Elon to make a difference for the kingdom of God. We have posters around the church, but we also have some wonderful, beautiful cards, invitation cards that are out in the lobby. I have some as well. If you'd like to take some of these to coworkers or neighbors, this is a wonderful opportunity to get someone to church without having to bring them to church. Some men, especially those who are not church folk or who are post-churched, especially who have left the church, they may be wary about coming into a sanctuary or coming into a worship service in any traditional sense. So this is a great opportunity for you to reach out to them and bring them into an opportunity to meet Christ. For this rally, we have a lot of opportunities throughout the day. The day starts at 5 o'clock with a cook-off. This is where we're inviting men to bring their best dish. If your best dish is a hot dog, fine. Bring a hot dog and put that up against Ethan's whatever he's going to smoke. I'm sure he's going to smoke something. Some people are already talking about bringing rice dishes and soup dishes, but that part is actually open to everyone. The men are doing the cooking, They're competing against each other for a pretty good prize, a grand prize. But all are invited to come and sample the men's dishes. In fact, the youth will be there as well. They'll have a little kiosk set up selling drinks and snacks to help raise money for their summer mission trip. So you want to be there at 5 o'clock for that. And then at 6:15, we have what's called our pre-rally, featuring our guest speaker for the rally that night is a man named George South. I've gotten to know George South over the last year and been so impressed by his faith and his commitment to the Lord. George South is a professional wrestler. Not a wrestler, a wrestler. You know, the type on TV. And George South has traveled all over the world and wrestled Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man Randy Savage and Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes. Except the difference between their job and his job is George South's job as a wrestler is to lose. He is a professional loser, is what he says. He is what they call in the wrestling business a jobber. It is his job to make the other guys look good. But throughout all that ministry and meeting all those people, he has had the chance to preach and witness and share the gospel all over the world. And it's such a treat for him to be with us. At 6:15 for the pre-show, he is going to share stories from the road. You know, what were some of those guys really like? And what was life like on the road back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s as a professional wrestler? You'll want to come and be a part of that as well. But the most important part of that night is at 7 o'clock for the rally itself. George will be preaching. We have guests from Piedmont Men of Steel coming. We have some guests from Elon First Baptist, our sister church, that will be coming and bringing some music. And we are especially blessed. This is the real coup for our church to have Giles Blankenship. He's an internationally recognized performing artist, beautiful voice, such a talented guitar player and piano player. He has led music and revivals for churches all over the world. He's been a part of camps and concerts, just has such a gift for music. Music that appeals to all ages. He is good at all of it, both traditional, classical, and very contemporary stuff as well. So he's going to be our worship leader that evening. And I want to go ahead and really challenge you as men, especially. Invite folks to that. Invite the men in your life to be a part of that opportunity. And if you'd like to have some invitation cards, or even if you have a business where you'd like to place a poster, see me after the worship service today, and we'll get those into your hands.
All right, children, come on down. Come on, kids, we'll get on this side today. Come on. Come on, have a seat. Do with Easter? It's candy. Yeah, we eat it for Easter, don't we? Langston doesn't. Langston doesn't like chocolate. But what can we use? How can
I
we
like chocolate.
You like chocolate? I love chocolate. I'd rather eat this than have Sunday lunch. I could just eat this and be happy. Well, how can we apply this for Easter? What can we do with this for Easter besides eat it? It's colorful, yeah, and each one of them mean different things. But we're going to use it, if we turn it different ways, let's see. Let's do it this way. If we turn it upside down, what letter do we have? What letter do you see there?
W.
A W. And what do you think that W stands for? For Easter. No, wait, I got the wrong one. Duh, I need to go back to school, Nona. Let's turn it this way. What letter do we have? This way. I want to start with this letter. Let me start this over again. I went to South Carolina. Y'all can hear me.
Three.
That clip's a band up there. We have an E. So that stands for Easter morning. We're going to get there. Well, let me, how can I wanted the E. E. There we go. So E stands for Easter celebration. All right, now let's turn it this way. What letter do we have?
M.
Which stands for mercy and his miracles that he freely gives us. Now, let's see, which way I want it for? What do we have now? 3. For 3 days he rose again. And this is the way I want it now for the W. What means that we can worship him anytime we want to, freely, anytime, any place, anywhere. So that's what we're going to do with M&Ms this morning. E, I can't get it right. E for Easter. M for his miracles. 3 for 3 days he rose. And W for we can worship him anytime.
Amen.
Amen, right? Happy Easter. And when you leave, so that you're not tempted to eat them during church, you can grab M&Ms. And here's a little card that tells you what we just talked about, okay? So it's all right here for you, okay, guys and girls? Happy Easter. Our oratory hymn this morning is Up From the Grave He Arose.
God of great gifts, this morning we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you thanks. With resurrection fresh in our hearts, our minds are turned towards you. We joyfully present these gifts to you, the tangible offering of thanksgiving, a harmony of hope for your kingdom come. Amen.
invite you to hear again the words of Holy Scripture from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. For the Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Would you pray with me? O Lord, as we prepare for the table, our hearts and our minds are set on this one thing, that we would seek your presence, that through these powerful symbols we would be shaken in our faith, that we would be caused to think deeply about who you are and who we are. As we prepare for the table, we are aware, Lord, that we are not perfect. And none of us are worthy to come to this table. And yet you open your arms of grace and mercy, and by the power of the cross and resurrection, you say, come. Just like you are, come. Forgiven, cleansed, covered with grace and mercy, come and receive. And so, Lord, it is not by faith in ourselves, but by faith in you that we come, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. Teach us to live sinless lives. Teach us to live as godly people. Teach us to be your holy nation. Teach us to be the priest to the community. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Till on the cross, as Jesus died,
Not believing his claim of being the Son of God, the angry crowd demanded Jesus to be crucified.
Jesus' disciples did not understand what was happening right in front of their eyes. They were losing both their friend and their Lord.
With cruelty and authority given by Pilate, the soldiers placed a heavy cross upon the back of Jesus.
Struggling up the hill, bearing the weight of his cross, his heart ached for those who did not believe in him.
Hanging on the cross with nails in his feet and in his hands, Jesus looked out and said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
After he breathed his last breath, everyone assumed it was all over. They thought he was gone forever.
Carefully placing his body in a borrowed tomb and sealing it tight, little did anyone know what was to happen next.
One of the hallmarks of this season is remembering the story of the Lord's Supper. We are told that it was the Passover, which, amazingly enough, this year Passover was on Good Friday. And at that Passover meal, like they had done every year that they had been with Jesus, they broke bread, they dipped into the wine, they drank from the cup, they shared the story of the Exodus, about how God had delivered their people from the hands of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, how he had broken the bondage of slavery and set them free and brought them through the wilderness into the land of milk and honey, the promised land. But that night, on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed and arrested, he did something different. He added a new symbol, not to replace the Passover, but for believers to do every time they gather together. Gathering in homes, the early church would reenact that same last night with Jesus and share in that same symbol of his body and his blood. We are told that he took the bread, and he blessed it, giving thanks, he broke it. And he passed it amongst his disciples, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." In the same way, he took the cup and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my own blood. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." And Paul would remind us also that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until his resurrection, till his return. And so even here, thousands of years later, we gather in a room together remembering that he is coming. He is to return. That just as surely as he rose once, he shall descend again and be with us. And a new heaven and a new earth. And the kingdom of God will be amongst human people. Would you give thanks with me? Oh Lord, we give you thanks. You are the King of the universe. And yet you have stepped into our lives and our space to be with us in this moment at the table. We give you thanks for this symbol of bread. We live by bread. We cannot exist without food and sustenance, and you give us this symbol that is so ancient and so pure and perfect of life. Life that we consume, and it becomes a part of who we are. It gives us energy. It sustains us. It keeps us going, just as the presence of your Son Jesus in our lives sustains us, gives us life, and keeps us going. We give you thanks, Lord, for this symbol of the cup. One of the most ancient things is the fruit of the vine turned into drink. And people value in the desert places the need for liquid, for moisture. And you have told us that it is like your blood, a blood that was shed necessarily for the forgiveness of sins, blood that was shed because the punishment for sin is death. And yet you tell us in this great mystery of the gospel that you took on that punishment for us. Oh God, we give you thanks. And as we come together to this table, we pray that you would deepen our faith, challenge our walk, strengthen our hearts and minds, and lead us into the way of righteousness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In just a moment, our deacons will pass the plates of bread and cups amongst you. We invite you, when you receive the tray, to serve the one beside you. We are called to be priests to one another, to take the bread and hold on to it and consider how Jesus gives you life. How has he been the bread of life for you? When everyone is served, we will all take and eat together. Likewise with the cup. Would you hold that cup and consider the way that God's Son shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins? What is he forgiven you of, and what must he yet forgive you of? And when all are served, we together will take and drink.
take and eat. Remembrance of Christ. Someone recently asked me, do preachers just preach the same sermon every Easter? Hopefully not the same sermon, but certainly the same story. The story never changes. As one pastor mentor of mine says, this is a no-brainer. You preach the gospel. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ rose again. So with that simplicity in our hearts and minds, let's pause and pray. Lord, simply this. What you have for us, let us not miss it. In Christ's name, amen. It should be no surprise to you that I raise chickens. I talk about them all the time. I am fascinated by chickens, by their behavior, their personalities, the little quirky things that they do. Some of you have cared for my chickens while I've been gone, and you know that they are odd birds. They're interesting to watch, but what fascinates me the most about the chicken is that incredible edible egg, that this perfect food can come from these wacky birds, that they can produce something that's got so much nutrients and vitamins and so much omega-3 and everything that you need for life right there contained in a simple egg. Then it's a renewable resource. As long as you feed the chickens, they'll continue to make the eggs. I'm amazed by the whole production, how the yolks are there, all the eggs that the chicken will hatch are there, and they produce the coating around them of enamel, and it always tickles me that the last thing they get is the paint job. Whatever color that egg will be, that's the very last thing that's added to it. And we know it's a protective film, but what I also love is nobody really knows why eggs have different colors, why some are brown and some are white, but that last paint coat fascinates me. We have what we call Americanas. So they can be light blue eggs. Sometimes they're dark green or an olive color or a yellowish blue. It's like an Easter basket when you go out and collect the eggs. And I brought some of these eggs. This, by the way, is not a chicken egg. This is a turkey egg. It tastes just like an egg, but it's a turkey egg, and you can imagine all that beautiful paint job that was put on that egg at the end. But here's what this egg is, we have one chicken that lays jelly beans, is what I call them. You can kind of see how odd shape that is. This is what fascinates me about the egg. When a chicken first starts laying eggs, they're about this big. Wee little things. But as the chicken matures and gets better at her job, the eggs also get larger. They get bigger. They get to the final normal size. And would you believe the same chicken that laid this egg also laid this egg? Now, here is the really fascinating thing. The exact same amount of enamel that goes into the production of this little egg is the exact same amount of enamel that is in this egg. No matter how large or small a particular hen's eggs are, they always have the same amount of shell. Same amount. So if you try to crack this one, it's very difficult to crack. It's tough. It's leathery. You really have to smash it to get it open. Whereas this one, if you're the one gathering the eggs, you better be careful. You better hold it gently because the enamel is stretched so thin, the egg almost wants to break. Especially with this one, it was a double yolker. Now, what does all of this have to do with our scripture? Nothing. Maybe something. Maybe everything. Just hold on to that egg formation that you've just gained. And now that's a thing that you know that you can never unknow about egg production. Just hold on to that and hear what Paul is trying to say to the Corinthian church, a church that he was constantly tormented by. For they were always on the verge of blowing up and imploding. They were always fighting over gifts of the Spirit, and they were always swayed by the teachings of the day and false theologies and doctrines, and they were always given for debate and argument about what's right and what's wrong, what's true, what's false, should you eat this or not eat that, and they were always ready to just break apart as a church. And so Paul would write them and continue to try to make arguments to them to encourage them in their faith. But here in 1 Corinthians 15, he gives the simplest, most straightforward, pure picture of the gospel. He says, "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you unless you have come to believe in vain. Pausing there, I want you to understand what Paul is getting ready to repeat to them. What is the message? Historians and archaeologists alike, both Christian and non, even atheists, all agree that what Paul is about to recite is the oldest creed of the church, way older than the Apostles or the Nicene Creed. They believe that this creed was developed within a year of the death of Jesus. So within 1 year of the death and resurrection of Jesus, Paul has traveled and met with the apostles, and it is from them themselves that he receives this. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters. And at this point, Paul begins, we think, to add on a bit to that creed. But the core of it is just this: for what I handed on to you, what I received, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the scriptures, and that he appeared to many. That's the gospel at its core. Christ died for your sins. Christ was buried. Christ rose and appeared and showed himself to many. Now, as the gospel grew and as the church grew, they had to explain some things. You remember, I love Lucy. Lucy, you got some explaining to do. They had some explaining to do. They had some doctrines to work out, some rules to figure out about church. And as time went on, this gospel got bigger and bigger and included more and more. Until you get out of the Bible era and into our day. Nowadays, if someone tells me they believe in the gospel, I'm not always sure I know what they mean by the gospel. I think that Easter is a good time to recoup and return and sort of reorganize ourselves around what really is the gospel. What do I have to believe to be believing in the gospel? Remember the little eggs that we were playing with here? I think this egg, to me, is the nutshell, the core of everything that can be believed and everything that can impact our lives. This is the gospel that Paul is talking about when he says Christ died for your sins, Christ was buried, Christ rose from the grave and appeared to many. It's a tough gospel. It's a clear gospel. It's a focused gospel. But the more you pack onto it and the more you stack into it, and before long you've got the double yoker that's just waiting to crack and break apart. It is a known fact, the more complicated church gets, the more quickly it breaks down and falls apart. What do you have to believe the gospel? Do I have to believe your set of moral codes? Do I have to believe in the scriptures in a certain way? Do I have to preach the things that you want to hear preached? Do you have to believe the things that I proclaim? What is the gospel? Is it a list of rules? Is it a list of do's and don'ts? How many of you are here today because you're with family, but you wouldn't be here otherwise because the church has hurt you or hindered you with packing on and stacking on to the gospel a whole host of things that were never there to begin with? Leave today knowing this. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for your sins, for you personally. He was buried, But he rose. He defeated death. He defeated sin and darkness. And he appeared to people, people who told that story and passed it down and passed it along, so that 2,000 years later, we stand together celebrating that same story. Would you pray with me? It is your story. It is powerful. It is perfect, and it is tough. Help us, Lord, not to weaken it and stretch it. Help us not to stretch it till it's brittle and ready to break. Likewise, we as a church, may we be strong and focused and clear, and not stretch so thin we're about to crack. This is our Easter prayer for resurrection and spiritual renewal. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you're able, would you stand as we close out this Resurrection Sunday with that powerful old hymn, Because He Lives. Would you stand if you're able? Receive this blessing as you go. You are the egg gatherers, the ones who hold the gospel in your hand. May you take it with you and share it with all that you meet and greet in this week to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.